579, the law of God is good and wise. You'll notice our Old Testament reading is the Ten Commandments. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. It's on page 151 and following. We'll use the insert from this past Sunday. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your righteousness, forgiveness, full and free, earned by the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, preserve us from trying to seek a righteousness by our own will or our own power. And teach us to cling to Jesus' merit, Jesus' love, Jesus' righteousness as our own. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, perfectly righteous for us. Amen. Amen. Hymn 579.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the intro for the day.
The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual.
Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We continue now with our hymn of the day, number 562, "All Mankind Fell in Adam's Fall." 562.
Thank you.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the gospel reading we heard a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 26, especially verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, keeping score, it's a vital part of our life, right? We've learned it from little on, even the earliest games that we play. You have to keep score, right? Otherwise, how do you know who wins and who loses? It was 45 years ago this week when our Legion baseball team played in the state tournament. When all the dust had settled, we were the 1974 Class B Big Midget, we can't say that anymore, junior state champion. How do you know that we won? We kept score in the games. We scored more runs than the other team. You keep track of the score, winners and losers. Just down the street tonight at Sherman Field, my great nephew, Ben, is playing for the Class A state champion junior baseball tournament. Will they win? I don't know. When church is over, I'll make a phone call and, are you ready? Check the score. That's how you determine a winner and a loser. We keep score all the time, don't we? Oh, maybe we don't use that phrase, keeping score, but we keep records. We know amounts. When you are driving down the street, in a sense, you keep score. You keep track of how fast you're going. And the police officer sitting at the stoplight might just be keeping score on you when you come by. Whatever the score is determines if you're a winner or a loser. You go to school. You get a grade. The higher the score, the better the grade. The lower the score. You get it? This is how life works. We keep score. The better the score, whether it's higher or lower, depends on whether you're playing baseball or golf, but the better the score, the better the reward. Life is like this. You go to work. You are offered an amount of money per hour, per week, per day, per year. You want a raise. Why? Because you're keeping score. You want a little bit more now than you had before. When it's time to pay taxes, the government keeps score. They keep track of how much you make, and you send in some or more than some. We keep score. It's part of life. We keep score in our relationships as well, don't we? We're kind of like Santa Claus that way. We keep score on who's been naughty or nice to us. We keep score with our spouses. We keep score with our kids or with our parents. We keep score with our neighbors. If the score doesn't seem very even, we do our best to even it up, don't we? We want to make them pay. Why? because we keep score. And we're really good at it. To a fault. My friends, this whole keeping score business is a vital part of life, whether we like it or not. We have a big problem, though, when we try to translate this keeping score life that we live onto God. You know what I mean? We think that God has a big scorecard or scorebook where He's keeping track of the good things we do and the bad things that we do. So, what do we try to do so that God will like us, God will love us? Well, we got to increase our score. We got to do more good, be a better person, pay it forward, hoping that the good will outweigh the bad in the grand scale of God's justice. We think that this is how God works, or maybe intellectually we know it isn't, but we still live, think, act, and move as if it is. We live our lives wanting to make sure that someone else notices, but certain that God is noticing whenever we do something nice, good, holy, and pious. There are many religions throughout the world that are built on this notion of keeping score. We hear it sometimes too, don't we, when a loved one dies? Oh, they were such a good person. If anybody's going to make it to heaven, it'll be Aunt Bertha. It'll be Cousin Fred. Oh, they were so good. We know the problem here, though, don't we? This may be a pious wish, or it may be a foolish notion of transferring how so much of life works onto God's justice system. But God's word is clear. God does not keep score the same way we do. God says, if you break one sin, you've broken them all. Not three strikes and you're out. One strike and you're out. If we focus on that, we're not even going to suit up and play the game, are we? No, because we're all out already. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. We just sang that hymn. One common sin infects us all. We are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We want to keep score, and yet we hope and pray that God doesn't keep score. God says, if you want to get to heaven by keeping score, here's how it works. I tell you, unless your righteousness, your holiness, your perfection, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We're used to talking about the scribes and the Pharisees in a negative way, aren't we? But the scribes and the Pharisees were the most respected, most looked up to people at that time and in that culture. They were considered the holiest of the holy. They built their lives on being good and right and holy and pious. And Jesus says, pick out the holiest, best person in the whole world. Aunt Bertha, Uncle Fred. Unless your righteousness is better than theirs, you're out of here. Our Old Testament reading reminds us of the mirror of the law. We heard those Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments that show us our sin, that show us how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. They hurt. But we want to keep score. We don't want to look at all the commandments. We'll try to pick one out that we're really, really good at, right? Certainly there's one of those ten that we haven't committed. You shall not murder. You know, I would bet that outside of military service, there is no one gathered right here this evening that has, with a gun, with a knife, with poison, with a candlestick in the library, done any kind of physical murder to another human being. Finally, we're off the hook, right? Finally, we have one commandment that we haven't broken, right? Did you hear Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 20 to 26. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. You ever been angry with your neighbor? You ever insulted your neighbor? You ever said something bad to or about your neighbor? Well, of course you have. We all have. Jesus says it is not just the physical act of murder, but we sin in thought, in word, and in deed. There is no way we can get off the hook simply by keeping score. My friends, who could possibly have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees? Who? Not you. Not me. Not Aunt Bertha. Or Uncle Fred either. My friends, a perfect God requires perfect obedience, perfect holiness, perfect righteousness to stand before His perfect judgment. And that's why He sent His perfect Son. That's why God sent Jesus. The only one whose righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees and everybody else in the whole world. The second Adam came. He succeeded where Adam fell. Jesus placed Himself under the harsh, condemning law, thought, word, and deed. And He didn't sin. He didn't sin once. He fulfilled it perfectly. Not for Himself, but for you and for me and for the life of the world. Our perfect, holy Jesus, who sinned never, nada, took your sin and mine, took all sin from all people for all time into Himself and onto Himself, and He died with it on Calvary's cross. Death could not hold the perfectly righteous Jesus. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and as we heard in our epistle reading for tonight, never to die again. You, by virtue of your baptism into Christ, have been baptized into his righteousness, into his death, into his resurrection. His righteousness is yours. His forgiveness is yours. His eternal life is yours. You might say that we have a cross-eyed God as he looks at poor, miserable, unrighteous sinners like you and me. Through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he looks at you and says, my son, my daughter, not guilty, innocent, holy, perfect, free. My friends, the righteousness of God is a scary thought if it is something that we have to do, earn, achieve, or keep score about. But when we understand that the righteousness of God is Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection for us, it is music to our ears. It is the most joyful, peaceful, comforting, and encouraging and inspiring word that we can ever hear. My friends, with regard to your human relationships, quit keeping score. Reconcile, forgive, love. Life's too short. In the rest of the world, well, yeah, you got to keep score. You got to earn a paycheck. Got to pay your taxes. Don't go over the speed limit. And whenever you are reminded about all the times that we are required to keep score in life, give thanks that in God's perfect scorebook, you are marked forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our scores, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This evening we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the cross. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, You graciously sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the prophets, to fulfill all of your word, that we would be saved from our failure to do your holy will. Fill your baptized children with your Holy Spirit, that we would consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, whose righteousness exceeds that of even the scribes and the Pharisees. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, give us joy in our vocations, whatever they may be, and help us to be faithful and diligent in our work and service and for the benefit and blessing of our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, hear the pleas of all who cry out to you for help in their time of need. Especially this day, we lay before you Ralph, Tim, the family of Bill Lee, the family of Janine Melton, all those that we remember in our hearts. According to your gracious will, heal their infirmities. Give them strength to bear all their crosses in Christian patience. Above all, sustain them in faith, that they would be comforted in the forgiveness, life, and salvation they have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless those who come to the holy altar this day to receive the gift of your Son's very body and blood in, with, and under bread and wine for the forgiveness of their sins. Through this holy sacrament, strengthen and preserve them in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a righteous God who gives his righteousness away in the person and work of Jesus would be your peace, comfort, and joy today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, who with Your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance, of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God upon might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. O Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, You take away.
Thank you.
Depart now in peace and joy. Sins are forgiven.
Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165.
Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been I have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father. In the beginning is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 582, God's Word is Our Great Heritage. Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. If you didn't get a chance to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes from last Sunday, I would encourage you to do so. All the events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We got lots of stuff coming up. Thanks to everybody who helped make last Sunday vicar farewell, the roast, the potluck, all the presentations, the fun and the games and all that kind of stuff. I, right in the middle of my sermon, got a text, and it had nothing to do with the keeping score of the game. It was from Vicar Bader. Made it back and almost got the U-Haul unpacked. Not as fast when it's just Pastor and I. Place smells like death warmed over. Hopefully the new carpet will help, but that doesn't come till Monday. So, farm boy Vicar is back in Fort Wayne. I don't know if the city smells or if just his apartment does, but he's back, thanks be to God, and we're thankful for a great year. This coming Sunday, we have our installation for our new vicar, Vicar Golden, and I know it's kind of scary to take the leash off before he's actually officially installed, but Vicar will be starting a new Bible study tonight after church in the fellowship hall on the book of Jonah, So, encourage you to stick around for that. ACELC conference in Eagle, Nebraska is next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. If at all possible, there's still time to register. It'll be a great conference. The topic is the theology and practice of Lutheran mission. So it'll be a great time. And if you're not able to go in person, I encourage you to go in person. But if you're not able to, much of the conference will be on our radio station 95.7. You'll be able to listen that way. On Friday evening from 5 to 7, there is an open house for school and preschool. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Mrs. Barefoot. And first day of school here at Good Shepherd is Tuesday, the 13th of August. So summer is about gone. Isn't that wild and crazy? We have some devotions for this time of the year. The Higher Things devotion books are in a box as you leave the church. Help yourself to those, as well as the portals of prayer and other things on the information booth. Kurt, if somebody wants a KNNA t-shirt, is it too late? Talk to Kurt. Talk nice to Kurt. You can get a nice t-shirt. Marilyn, stand up, will you? That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like right there. And purple is not the only color. If you want to pay tribute to LWML, then that's the perfect color. But there are other colors available, and it's a great way to help tell the story about our radio station here at Good Shepherd. So, Bible study in the fellowship hall. We will be starting a new Bible study on Sunday morning once again. We'll be back to the book of Romans, and we'll be studying Romans chapters 4 and 5, the great justification chapters in all of Scripture. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life in the Lord Jesus Christ.